With Laura Fox.
Podcast. Now, just a few years ago, a mushroom or a mocha were more likely to be part of your lunch than something that you rub on your face. But what's changed? Well, Jennifer Rock, CEO and founder of Skingredients and the Skin Nerd, knows better than most. And she's here with me now to give us a preview of the skincare trends for 2025. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Very good welcome back to the show. I'm delighted you're here. You know this is my favourite topic of all time.
I do. I'm just going to move in. That's basically what's happening, Kate. We're staying.
That's fine. 3 hours a day, all day, every day. Jennifer Rock talking skin. Okay, let's start with something fairly new, and this is something I have no idea about. What is solid skincare?
So trends.
To me now, that would be like, oh, you've got a solid skincare routine, but no.
A lovely compliment. So ultimately, I think if you go back to, definitely before our years, or definitely your years, Laura, skincare was more tradition, like your bars of soap and so on and so forth, which is what they would have called solid skincare, meaning that the actual material or the ingredients were in a solid format, i.e. not needing to be in a liquid or a bottle or anything like that. And when I, example, was in Hong Kong, they're looking at the trends of 2025 coming and 2026 coming, and nearly every third stall or people kind of exhibiting were bars of soap, or they just found magic ways to get, well, magic, obviously scientific ways, scientific ways to have skincare in solid format. So whether it's your shampoo, your conditioner, your cleanser, your bar of soap that we're so accustomed to all of our lives, that's what's really coming in 2025. And the reality is that it's a more sustainable way because there's less packaging. My qualm with it is that there's a little bit less hygiene involved.
Yeah.
So just be aware of that if you are having like your cleanser sitting out and exposed, that you almost want to clean the cleansing balm before you then clean your face with it.
So like give it a rinse.
Yeah, that is the joy of having componentry, which is what we call packaging, or you know, that kind of outer bottle. So yeah, there's a lot of brands that are really championing it, particularly in Asia. There's a lot of really trend driven, but again, really well established brands that are definitely the pioneer for it. So something to watch out for.
I imagine that this is very handy for travel.
Yeah, true. I look, the jury's out for me because I want to be as sustainable as possible, but I've tried it. I brought an awful lot of those products home when I was over in Asia late last year, should I say. And I just have lots of my hairs on it and dust gathering on it. So for me, if I can physically and optically see that, what am I not seeing microscopically? Yeah. So I think there's a little bit to go in terms of, example, how do you keep your toothbrush in the bathroom? Are you one of those people that covers it?
Yeah.
Are you one of those people that leaves it sitting practically on the toilet bowl? So, you know, there's two extremes in that scenario. And so with skincare, I just want people to be conscious because you're asking a lot of it, and it is science and it is hygiene that we're dealing with. So just to be mindful.
Okay. I mentioned mushrooms at the very beginning there. Can you please explain a little bit about why botanicals are going to be a big part of our 2025 routines?
Do you know what? One of the most search terms in skincare for the last 2 years in a row has been the phrase skin barrier. Mm-hmm. So we've mentioned skin barrier all throughout 2024. Yeah. I think you're a connoisseur in it, right? So ultimately our skin is an organ, as we know, and it's there to defend us. Ultimately, by and large, that's its sole premise. We like it to look nice. That's the more aesthetic drive within us. But ultimately what we're trying to do is kind of cool, soothe, calm, and keep the skin non-irritated. And so as a result of that, where we've had a huge rise in acids and retinols and retinoids and beautiful ingredients with clinical data, but often quite irritating ingredients, what we're now trying to really do is bring alongside that the botanical calming soothing stage. So a lot of what's coming in 2025-26 is what we call adaptogenics or adaptogens. So you can't but walk into a pharmacy or a health food store and see mushroom, reishi mushroom, ashwagandha.
Yeah.
These are all different elements of kind of soothing, and that has been brought into skincare. So skincare usually is, and I don't like to admit this, and this could be controversial, and I wish it wasn't the truth, but as I see it, skincare is often a myriad or a blend of like fashion trend and then health trend being brought together. And this is just that health part being brought in. So if you think about ashwagandha, I suppose, or ingredients like glutathione, they're antioxidants, they're really calming. Sometimes we can claim they're anti-inflammatory, really hydrating. And they just really, really calm the skin ultimately.
And that all makes sense for our skin because that's ultimately what we're all looking for at the end of the day.
And if you think about this island of Ireland of ours, it's a little bit of Celtic blood inside you, or you've had the four seasons in the 1 hour like we all experience. There's a lot of sensitivity on this island. So that I really do welcome those ingredients being brought in, I have to say.
The plants are one thing, but what about the sea? What has that got to offer?
Oh, sure. Look, the island of Ireland. And you know what? Like we're fantastic for exporting so many things. And even if you look at our largest skincare brands, they're predominantly seaweed based. So if you think think about it, I suppose it was the early 20th century that they really realised that there was a similarity between blood plasma and then seawater. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I mean, you're a Galway girl, right?
Yeah.
So tell me all about the coast and the water. But the composition and the concentration is quite similar. So ultimately, the trace elements, the minerals, the vitamins, we really do benefit from them. So when we use seaweed algae-based products, it really does extremely hydrate the skin. The questionability of sustainability, which is becoming even more rightfully so a conversation in 2025, is how do you do it in a sustainable manner? Because obviously you're working with the actual yeah. ecosystem, as opposed to a lot of products and brands will actually biomimic, which means they bring all those good ingredients, they bring them into a lab and they stimulate it from there. So it's looking at where you're getting your seaweed from. I'm not opposed to getting it from more natural sources, but I am a big believer in ensuring that they're harvesting in a way in which yeah. that they're only taking the upper part as opposed to taking the actual base, so that if you think about it, it can regenerate itself. So always be mindful that when you're choosing to look after your skin, you're also simultaneously choosing to care for the planet. But extremely hydrating, unbelievably hydrating, and it mimics your skin's natural ability. So
this is what we absolutely love. Talk to me, right? It's not just a coffee order, mocha. How has this come into all of this?
Oh, so again, going back to where skincare and beauty in general is very much driven by fashion. Yeah. A lot of your packaging, if you see it, like you see brands that come out, and I know, for example, with our own brand, It's So Colourful, which is now trendy, but when I brought it out, it wasn't. Or now you see a lot of brands that are bringing out these very chic brown nude colours, and you think, oh wow, they're beautiful, but arguably in 5 years' time they won't be trend driven. So every single year without fail there's a trend in fashion, or there's yep. however many trends in fashion, hair, makeup and so on. In skincare there's always a colour, and a colour means the componentry or the packaging, and it also usually means the makeup that we lean into. So mocha mousse is what they're calling it.
Oh, okay.
Although a lot of people are calling it mocha mouse on TikTok, which is just a definite typo. Mocha mousse, it's all about brown tones, and that really suits this, like a lot of the Celtic skin as well, and just suits all skin tones, all genders. It's just beautiful. So okay. It's one definitely to look forward to.
Let's talk about technological advances. How are these changing how we care for our skin, yeah. Jen?
Oh, I love this so much, right? So for me, a lot of skincare is personalised, yeah. insofar as that your budget will differ to my budget, your desires, your goals, your history, your past, present, future example. So ultimately, although there's key non-negotiable ingredients we all need, the next stage or iteration of skincare is going to be ultimately, I mean, a lot of brands are now doing, you know, you can send your hair samples in yeah. or blood tests in, so that you get a really bespoke tailor-made recommendation. But it's almost like you're what you put on the wrist to check out how many steps yeah. you're having, whatever brand of piece or product that might be. There's now skincare versions of that where they're tracking your hydration levels and they're telling you whether you need to put on more moisturizer or spritzes. I don't know if we're quite there just yet.
Yeah.
I don't know how they truly gauge it, but I do love that it's really starting to step it up and merge again what skincare is, science, with technology, which is also a version of science. So I think that's to be welcomed, but perhaps we're not quite at the everyday element of it just yet, but definitely interesting.
Definitely getting there, I would say. Sustainability, we've obviously mentioned it loads between the bars of soaps and the seaweed that we were just speaking about, but has it made it into your world, and how?
Yeah, as in a home base.
Yeah.
Do you know what was really interesting was when we started doing a lot of studies a couple of years ago, I feel a huge responsibility as a person who speaks about skincare mm-hmm. all the time, that I'm very aware, because if you can visualise how many products an average person or client will have on their home, it's a lot between yeah. your personal hygiene and then your regular skincare. So just what I really am a huge advocate for in my day-to-day life is trying to recycle what's used in my mm-hmm. bathroom. I tend to find that we're excellent at thinking about recycling what we use in the kitchen for yeah. cooking, and whatever else, cleaning even. But when it comes to our cleansers, our shampoos, we tend to put them into our regular bin in the bathroom, and then that goes into your regular black bin. Yeah. So really trying to ask myself, how can I make small steps that make a difference long term?
You've got sustainable packaging as well, which is fantastic, and you know, something that we absolutely love for. But a big thing for you that, like, I've learned from the last year with you is the fact that you are always one for less is more with your skincare. You know, yeah. like make the stuff that you have, do the hard work, but you don't need a 9-step skincare regime.
You genuinely don't. Like, you really, really don't. And I think people say to me all the time, God, your skincare concept is so simple. So it's really cleanse, serum, and getting the right ingredients, like we said many yep. a time, antioxidants, retinoids, into it, and then your SPF. But you don't need an awful lot more. That's not to say I don't love a mask, or yep. I don't love an eye cream, or I don't love a body product. But then really looking at the brands that you're working with, that do they have a heart as well as a... Mm. a balance sheet business goal, and making sure that they're recyclable is the bare minimum that I think we should be working towards. And consumers drive it, because brands will listen to what customers and clients want. So we are in control.
You mentioned masks there, and look, we're all incredibly busy, and I know that, you know, everyone's trying to reset right now, but how can we make our skincare work for us while we're sleeping?
Oh my goodness, this is actually a really clever one. So again, you always see sleep masks come in at a trend, and I think it was like 2017, 2018, they were huge, and now they're back again with a bang, with a vengeance. So I'm a big believer in making my skin work damn hard while I am getting those Zeds. So yeah, ultimately it's actually back to the ingredients you spoke about, the ashwagandha, the botanicals, the reishi mushroom, putting those on whilst you sleep in a mask format or a really beautiful oil-based product. So it's like an occlusion, like a lid or a top layer on the skin is really important. And it just means that if you have the heat on or you have a fan on or anything, or it's just, you know, whatever's happening naturally in the room without any extra additions, it just really helps keep the skin hydrated, which hydration is probably the most underrated element of skincare, insofar as that if your skin is hydrated, you're less likely to have breakout spots, irritation, and. So yeah, ultimately looking after that is key.
I want to be a slippery seal getting into my bed. I want to be like, like, honest to God, I want to wake
up
then.
Are you going to a body moisturiser?
Yeah, twice a day. Yeah, but only because, and we've spoken about this before, I'm on the Roaccutane. So like, in order to keep myself hydrated, I have to be on top of it all the time. But I'm in that habit now that I don't think I'll ever leave it.
Do you know, we have a lot of people contacting us this time of the year. So it comes in around 24th, 25th of January on my dad's life, right? And it's people saying, I had a great Christmas.
Yeah.
But usually what happens with your skin is that it's about 1 month till you can see the ramifications of what you did a month ago. So basically I'm telling on the 25th of January, I'll be like, oh yes, that was that tin of celebrations I had. So being mindful this time of the year, not put pressure on yourself, but just, you know, don't try to do everything in one go.
No.
Excuse me. But trying to look after and be conscious of what you put into your body does have an impact on your skin. I'm literally walking, talking proof of it. If you get close to my skin right now, I'll tell you that I ate my little way through December.
You look great. Okay?
No, but it's just being mindful.
I know what you mean.
Don't
yeah,
always
it's looking
depend
at.
On the serums and the masks. It's just trying to mind you.
Just getting a load of water into yourself now as well. Look, there are supplements for absolutely everything these days. Which ones are going to be trendy this year, and what's your take on them?
Yeah, so again, it goes back to the, I suppose the key ingredients are the mushroom, the ashwagandha. It's a very Asian way and a very inspirational way, and it goes back decades, if not, sorry, back centuries, should I say. But that's, they're typically the main ones that we'll see coming through. I think the key
is ashwagandha, because I know you've mentioned it so many times. Like, I take this for to help myself like sleep in the evenings. Yeah. Also check with your own doctors and stuff before you go taking any supplements. But is that good for your skin in turn?
So yeah, so what's starting to happen is a lot of the ingredients, like you say, the ashwagandha, the reishi mushroom, the glutathione that we've heard about from an internal perspective. Yeah. This is where sometimes I question, is it trend or is it science? But in this instance, it's science. So what's starting to happen is they're now seeing that that's having an impact on the skin externally, because they're either anti-inflammatory, hydrating, or antioxidants. So yes, to answer your question, they are.
Fantastic. Roger Fleister.
Yeah, I know. And just teas, getting back to drinking like good solid teas. Yep. I don't necessarily mean your like breakfast tea, but you know, getting into like your peppermints and so on, and we're trying to get them in the herbal format. All of that has an impact on your body, and in turn your sleep, and in turn your skin. So it's a full circle event.
That's actually a habit that I need to get back into. I've fallen out of it massively, and it was such a great way of getting my water intake in as well. Like on top,
you're kind of cutting yourself. Yeah, it's lovely to taste nice. But again, when I was over in Asia before, I always go, I'm starting to go back every year to try and figure out the trends for the upcoming piece, and a lot of it is derived from that side of the world now, as opposed to, it used to be when I was growing up, it was the French large company house that you'd look at. And it's all about looking after yourself inside out, getting the good nutrition in and not putting pressure on yourself, doing it at ease, slowly but surely. Mm-hmm. So example, let's say you're saying you're not getting the water in, that's January's goal, let that become your norm, and then in February, you know, up the ante. People often come to us this time of the year on the Skin Nerd and say, I want to start again. Mm-hmm. And we're probably the most uncommercial business ever, because we'll say, no, let's just do one thing, and then next month let's do another. And it's just a more progressive long-term way to not ask too much of yourself, but also monitor what's actually making a difference, because if you do too much at one stage,
you have no idea,
you
what's
don't really
on.
Know what's making that difference for you. Yeah,
you're having a breeze. There you go. Now we're only on air since 9 o'clock this morning and their skin is sorted for 2025. It's amazing.
Hey, voila.
Jennifer Rock, CEO and founder of Skin Ingredients and the Skin Nerd, as always, thank you so much for coming in. We'll be right back after these
with Laura Fox podcast.